ज्ञानतनिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. We'll recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate वासुदेवाय।
That is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam from the section of Prachetas.
यत्रेध्यन्ते कथामृष्टास् तृष्णाया प्रशमो यतः निर्वैरः सर्वभूतेषु नोद्वेगो यत्र कश्चन।
This verse says that very simple meaning. Yatra idyante kathamrishta. Idyante means with great eagerness, those who hear the pastimes of the Lord, trishnayaha prashamo yataha. Trishna means opposite to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Trishna means thirst for material pleasures. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯಃ ಪ್ರಶಮಃ ಯತಃ. ಆಲ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಕರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಫಿನಿಶ್ಡ್. ಯತ್ರ ಈಡ್ಯಂತೆ ಕಥಾಮೃಷ್ಟ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯಃ ಪ್ರಶಮೋ ಯತಃ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹಿಯರ್ ದ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಪ್ಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈಗರ್ನೆಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಂಥೂಸಿಯಾಸಮ್, ದೆನ್ ಅವರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಕರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಓವರ್. ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್ ನಿರ್ವೈರಃ ಸರ್ವಭೂತೇಷು. We will become non-envious towards all living beings in this world. Na udvego yatra kashchana. And we will become free from the agitating qualities of the mind like anger and pride and such things also. One can become free from all those. So this is a very beautiful benediction verse. There are many verses in Bhagavatam which say if you do this, you will get this. Many times people ask the question, how to become humble, how to become tolerant, how to become free from hankering. So this verse gives a clue. So I had given the heading for today's program as conflict resolution. And you may wonder how this verse is connected to the topic. You will eventually realize it. There is a strong connection. You see, Lord Shiva's family is a family with great contradictions. Yet, Lord Shiva's family is the happiest family with no conflicts. How can there be contradictions, yet no conflicts? Like you see, the snake on Lord Shiva's neck is fond of eating mouse, which is a vahan of Ganesh, isn't it? And the bull on which Lord Shiva sits is a foot for the tiger on which Parvati sits. Isn't it? And they are standing right next to each other. And Lord Kartikeya rides on a peacock. For peacock, the eatable is snake also. So in this family, there are such contradictions. Yet you find Lord Shiva and Parvati so peacefully living happily with all these family members. And how, with such contradictions, there are no conflicts? Somebody asked Shiva. As soon as they asked this question, Lord Shiva started dancing like Nataraj. You see Nataraj? In Madurai, you see Nataraj. Very beautifully dance. And dancing in great ecstasy, Lord Shiva sang this wonderful prayer. Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane. He says, I always absorb myself in singing this Sri Rama 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 or Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Because I am glorifying the Lord's name always in great transcendental ecstasy, with all the contradictions in my family, I still have no quarrel, he says. That is the answer he gave. So which is very pertinent to this verse. Yatredyante Kathamrishta. Either we have to hear the name of the Lord or fame of the Lord. Either of the two you hear, you will be inspired to do the other one. For example, you chant Hare Krishna nicely, your eagerness for hearing Krishna Katha will increase. You hear Krishna Katha very sincerely, the result will be you will want to chant Hare Krishna. And they both are connected also. So, because Lord Shiva is delighting in chanting the holy names, he is able to manage such a family full of contradictions. We should know, even the first created living being, Brahma, who is the son of the Supreme Lord, who is directly the son of Supreme Lord, Vishnu, and he is called as Atma Bhu or a Swayambhu, who is born from the navel of Lord, from the lotus flower. He is the first engineer of the universe, the father of the universe, we can call him. Such a Brahma, even he was born in ignorance also. He was born in darkness. That's why we hear of Brahma Vimohan Leela. He can be put to, he can be subjected to illusion. And he was also born in darkness. He could not see the Lord. Although he got down from the stem, he came up to the navel of Vishnu. Still he could not see the body of Vishnu at all. He was born in darkness. But later on, you know, he heard the sound vibration. and by hearing the sound vibration he performed penance, and then he saw Vishnu face to face. So Brahma is called as Amoghadrik. Amoghadrik means one who has a spotless vision. He's called Amoghadrik. Brahma is looking at darkness and he is not seeing anyone or anything, but he's called as Amoghadrik. Why? Because he's hearing the sound vibration of the Lord. And he's applying those instructions in his life. So, anyone who takes the message of Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously in their hearts and lives and applies them, they can also become Amoghadrik. That benediction is there. We can have a spotless vision. Otherwise, we will continue to remain in darkness or ignorance. Elsewhere, Prabhupada says, the presiding deity of material energy is Durga Devi. Although she is the ruler of the whole universe, controlling the three modes and everything, still she is ignorant, Prabhupada says. How? She is sitting right next to Shiva and constantly asking him questions, one after another. She is asking question and Lord Shiva is answering. Like Bhagavat Mahatmya, if you see, there is a question, there is answer. There is a question, there is answer. Parvati is asking question. Now, who will make the inquiry, spiritual inquiry? Only one who is ignorant is making inquiries. So Prabhupada says, the first created living being Brahma and the presiding deity of material energy Durga, even they are born in ignorance. What to speak of tiny thoughts like us, tiny living entities. We should always know. You see, one day Lord Shiva had gone out somewhere to perform some meditation and Parvati was at home. And Narada arrived there. See, Narada always comes and, you know, brings about a situation which will bring forth some beautiful pastimes. So Narada came to the house of Shiva, and Parvati welcomed him. Of course, she gave him water to wash his feet and a sitting place. So Narada asked Mother Parvati, "Where is Lord Shiva?" She said, "He has gone for meditation." And women by nature like to talk. So she naturally talked. And she started saying, "My husband Lord Shiva is such a great soul that he never hides anything from me. He tells me all the secrets. His heart is in and out. And he keeps me informed about everything." And she said, "I also say everything about me to him. In fact, we have nothing to hide from each other." And Narada said, "Oh really? That's very wonderful. And I'm very happy to hear this." But then Narada said, "Did you ever ask your husband what is that in a garland of skull that he is wearing in his neck? Several skulls. Did he ever tell you whose heads is he wearing on his neck?" She said, "That he never told me." And Narada said, "Such a superficial thing as that garland he has not told you, and you say that he is telling you everything from his heart? Lord Shiva hasn't revealed anything to you. You are in total ignorance," he said. And when Parvati became angry, Narada said, "Now my job is done." And he pushed off from there. After Lord Shiva came, Parvati was in a furious mood. And she told, "My dear Lord, till now I have been thinking you are very simple and you reveal everything to me. You didn't even reveal what is this garland you are wearing with all the skulls?" Shiva said, "What is there in my heart to hide from you, Parvati?" He said, "Every time I appear in this world and you appear, the pastime of you going to your father's house happens, and then you self-immolate yourself." Sati burns herself. "And then that skull, I picked it up and kept it safely. And all those skulls I made it into your garland and I'm wearing it so that I can always remember you." He said. And she became very happy. "Oh, it is so nice that even when you go for meditation, you don't forget me. Very good." She became very happy. And then she said, "But Narada said you have some deep secret in your heart which you don't reveal to anyone so easily. I wanted to know what is that." And Shiva said, "That's a very great confidential message about the Supreme Lord. I generally don't speak it to anyone. Most of the guys who come to me ask for material benefits, I give them and send them away. But because you have asked me, I will tell you." And then he said, let us sit in a secluded place. There was no one around. And then they sat under a tree. And Shiva started speaking to her the Bhagavat Katha. Of course, you know this. Now she went on saying, she was hearing. But after third canto, she slept off. I think after the Kapila section was very dry. She went to sleep after that. And Lord Shiva finished all the 12 cantos. After that, she woke up and said, please continue the fourth canto, she said. And Lord Shiva said, what are you asking? I have finished everything. And you are also saying, after every canto. And then she said, I never said it. Somebody else must have said. Then Lord Shiva looked here and there, and there was a parrot on top of the tree who was saying that. Of course, the story continues. Lord Shiva chased after the parrot, shook a parrot. He flew away. But the point is, Parvati is always asking questions to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is revealing to her. This is one very fundamental necessity of a devotee in spiritual life. One should never think, I have become wise. One should always be in a learning mood. If Brahma is in a learning mood and Parvati is in a learning mood, how can any of us say, I have become so wise that I have become a perfected being now? I have become a perfect soul. So, in today's talk, I am not going to talk about win-win or win-lose or lose-win or win-lose or lose-lose. I am surely not going to talk about those things in this conflict resolution seminar. But we are going to go to the root cause of this problem. Why there are conflicts in the first place. What is the reason for the conflicts? Because if we know the reason for the conflicts, that will help us to sort out the problem at the root level itself. Then we can rise above it. You see, once Diti became very afflicted with sexual desire during a twilight evening. And she approached her husband, Kashyapa. You see, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Asat Sangha, when he talks about that, he includes woman in that. But he says, this woman is not one's wife. This is, one should not have extramarital connection. That is prohibited. But association with one's wife is allowed. But association even with one's wife against Vedic principles is not allowed. That is considered prohibited. And here is an example for that, what I am about to tell you. Diti approaching Kashyapa. And Kashyapa tells her that, my dear wife, you know, you are always like a great fort for the husband to protect him from the inimical forces in this world, like the lower natures. But at the same time, he says that Lord Shiva wanders in the twilight evening hours, you know, boarding on his bull. And he has three eyes with which he can look into the minds and hearts of all the conditioned souls. And he is watching with open eyes what's happening. And he also carries ghosts and spirits and hobgoblins with him. And anybody who performs a prohibited activity at this time, Lord Shiva will cast those ghosts into those wombs and offer them the gross bodies from those wombs. So he told her, you wait for a few moments for the twilight to pass, otherwise it will be a great sin and we would suffer enormous bad consequences. But she was not willing to hear. You see, in this world, our lower natures like the lust and the greed and the pride and the envy and anger, they exert such a pressure in our mind. At the spur of the moment, one is unwilling to resist them. That's why it is said, subdue the passions, resist the temptations, curb the evil. All this is said in the scriptures. Curbing the evil means like becoming envious is evil. We have to curb it. Becoming lusty is a passion. We have to subdue the passion. And there are innumerable allurements in this world which may tempt us. And we have to resist the temptations. So he tried to give her good advice, but Prabhupada says Kashyapa was weak-hearted. So he succumbed to the invitation of his wife. And then he says, after the prohibited activity was done, afterwards he took a bath and he performed Gayatri Mantra. At the time, Diti came to him, and Diti told him she was hanging her head down in shame. She knew that Lord Shiva would be angry with her. So she told, "Oh, my dear husband, please offer me a blessing that Lord Shiva will not kill my embryo. You can do that. You are a very powerful Brahmana. You can do that. Please offer me a blessing," she said. Of course, Kashyapa became sympathetic to her. Then she was telling, then she closed her eyes and offered a prayer to Lord Shiva. She said, "Oh Lord Shiva, oh Lord Angry Shiva," she said. "Oh Lord Angry Shiva, I know that you have the power to destroy any embryo in this world. But at the same time, I know that you are very merciful and compassionate to poor souls like me. And you are the Lord of all the women. And women are never even killed or never hurted, even by the wildest of the hunters living in forest. What is big of a demigod like you, who is considered the leader of demigods? You will never hurt my embryo. I am very confident. Please forgive me." Like she offered a prayer to Lord Shiva. So all this was observed by Kashyapa. And Kashyapa told her, "My dear wife," he said, "because of your polluted mind and because of inappropriate time and disobedience to your husband and disobedience to demigods, especially headed by Lord Shiva, because of all these things, you will get two dangerous children in your womb." And he said, "These children will enrage the great souls and they will kill all the innocent creatures. They will be torturing all women. They will do a lot of atrocities in this world," he said. "So much so that the Supreme Lord has to incarnate in this world himself to kill these demons." When she heard it, she started smiling happily. She said, "I am happy that my dangerous children will not die because of the Brahma Shap. They will die because they will be killed by Supreme Lord." And then she said, "If somebody gets a Brahma Shap or Brahmana's curse, such a person will not be shown any sympathy even by those living in Naraka, living in hell. At least my children will be killed by the Lord. I am happy," she said. Then Kashyapa became pleased. He told her that because of your faith in Supreme Lord and because of your repentance in your heart and because of your prayer to Lord Shiva and obedience to me now, he said, because of all these things, he said, one of your grandsons will be a very great Mahabhagavata devotee. Who is that? Prahlad. He said, he will see the Supreme Lord within and without. He will be a Paradukha Dukhi. Not only that, he said, because of his pure devotion to Vishnu, everyone will follow him. And the whole world will glorify him. His names will be written in the golden pages of scriptures. And for all people to come, all time to come, he'll be worshipped. And all that he said. Later on, Diti, knowing that these two children going to be born are going to create atrocities, she tried to restrain them, keeping them in the womb for 100 years. She didn't let them go. Even then, there was a big smoke in the sky and there was big trouble in the universe, even before they were born. Like that. But many lessons we learned from this pastime, which we heard just now. You see, all the conflicts that come in this world have their root cause in these six anarthas only. You will see that. Like somebody becomes unreasonable, and that is where conflicts happen always in this world. You will find most of the, like the Pandavas and Kauravas. Why? What is the problem? Why can't the Kauravas give 5 villages to Pandavas and be peaceful? Why can't they live happily? Because they became unreasonable. Once a person becomes unreasonable, then there is conflict. Then there was Kurukshetra war. You'll find. So, Shastra say, one has to resist the lower natures. One has to resist this lower nature. And one cannot resist the lower nature without, like for example, before we achieve the higher taste, there is naturally lower taste. So, you have to have either of the two. Like if somebody has a sukha roti, a beggar has a sukha roti, dry roti. You tell him, throw it away. He will say, what will you give me? Give me something better, then I will throw this away. If you give him a nice plate of Mahaprasad, he will throw the roti away. But otherwise he will think, at least I should have something. And why the living being holds on to something petty, some petty pleasures of this world? Because he cannot experience something higher. Now, before we reach that higher thing, Krishna doesn't say in Bhagavad Gita, you go on with the lower thing. He doesn't say that. He gives a solution, which is regulation. He says that there should be regulation in eating, regulation in sleeping, regulation in sex life, regulation in recreation, in everything, he says. Then there's a prescribed regulations given. So, marriage is a sacred vow. And what is sacred in marriage? If you see, there are many, many things that husband and wife speak to each other. I was recently reading the Gruhya Sutras, in which, like, the wife is telling the husband on the marriage day, my dear husband, if you promise me that you will always protect me, and if you promise me that you will love only me, and you will see upon every other woman as a mother, and if you promise me that you will consider me a ardhangini, half of your body, which means whenever you do yajna, wife will be standing by the side of the husband. You will see that the Vedic yajnas cannot be performed without the help of wife. So you will also give me a share of that performance of the sacrifices. And when you go for pilgrimages, you will also take me with you. And also, whenever I have to do my household chores, you will also have a share in doing them. It is not only my responsibility, it is your responsibility also. And you will not spend a single penny without keeping me informed or knowledgeable about how you are spending the finances of the home. And she says that if you do all these things to me, I promise you to be your partner lifelong. And this way I will always be. So wife actually tells a Sanskrit shloka, which is the meaning of which I told you just now. This is wife. And what does the husband say for his part? He is telling her, my dear good wife, if you promise me that you will not wander in the garden alone, or if you will not go to other men's house and speak with other men in a lonely place, and if you promise me that you will treat me with softness, tenderness and love in all your dealings, always, and if you promise me that you will be obedient to me, to my elders, to the sages and saints, and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you are obedient to all these people. See, to me means myself, to my elders means in-laws, especially mother-in-law, father-in-law, and other elders, especially the in-laws. And also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and the spiritual master and all these people. If you promise me that you will do these things. That means basically husband is saying you have to be chaste and pure in your habits. And you also should be obedient and submissive. Yeah. Anything else he says? Yeah, this thing he's saying. If you do these things, he says that, then I will promise you that lifelong I will be with you. I will never leave you. You see, this is like a contract, marriage contract. What is the contract? Both of them have to fulfill a certain type of duty. You will see. See, in our lives, if you want to follow a role model for grihasthas, the most ideal role model to follow is Sita and Ram. There are innumerable examples in Sita Ram's lives we could give. Sita's admiration for Ram and Sita's chastity and Sita's willingness to extend herself and her tolerance and all those things when we read. Like, you know, when Atri and Anusuya were advising, Atri was advising Sita, sorry, Anusuya was advising Sita that a wife should always share the destiny of the husband. She should never leave him. In prosperity, she will sit by the side of the husband on an elevated throne. And when the husband becomes a beggar, she also has to become a beggar along with him. In that connection, Prabhupada says, in Ahmedabad, Allahabad, ಒನ್ಸ್ ಆಪೋಸಿಟ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ಮಾಸ್ಯುಟಿಕಲ್ ಶಾಪ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಒನ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ದೇ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಮ್ ಹಾತ್ ಗಾಡಿ ಒನ್ ಕಾಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ವುಡ್ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಗೋ ಟು ದ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ದೇ ಟೇಕ್ ಅ ಬಾತ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಕಮ್ ಅಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಯು ನೋ 10 or 11 o'clock and the wife is cooking many items. By 2 o'clock she completes cooking. Many items she would keep on store. And then she would go home and the husband would come in the evening at 4 o'clock. Then husband and wife would be sitting together and selling them. And she would be there only for 1 or 2 hours and then she would go away. And husband would be selling till 8 or 9 o'clock. And then they would make money for the day, good amount of money. And Prabhupada said it was a peaceful family. Husband and wife working together, helping each other. Doing the business. And Prabhupada saw that they both are working hard, sharing the burden of the family, they and their children and everything. And Prabhupada says this is not an uncommon sight in India. Because that is, in this way, husband and wife, they have understanding of what are my duties, what is her duty. These two are understood very well. I was telling about Sitaram. Anusuya was telling her, that a wife should at any cost never leave the shelter of the husband and go away. So when she was telling all these things, Sita is glorifying Ram. She is telling about Ram that any wife should not leave a husband even if he is ignoble or even if he has this problem, that problem, so many things she says. But what to speak of Ram? He is constant in his love. And he has sense control. He has subdued the passions of his mind. And he is constantly thinking of the welfare of his subjects. And then she said, he would treat the other mothers, other than his own mother, as good as he would treat his own mother. So many good qualities of Ram, she is telling. So that goes to show that a wife should have a great admiration and respect for the husband. And in the same manner, the husband also should have a great admiration and respect for the wife. And that is so vital. It is so important. You see, when Ravana had come to take Mother Sita away, this Ravana was such a fool. He was describing the different bodily parts of Sita shamelessly. And Sita became fed up. She gave him some water to wash his feet. She gave him a plate of prasadam to eat. Because he came in the robes of a saintly person, she didn't want to offend him. She gave him water to wash his feet and food to eat and gave him a sitting place. And then she told that, I am coming in the dynasty of King Janaka. At the age of 9, I was married to Ram, the noble Ram. And she said, now because of the order of his father, Ram is now roaming in the forest and I am also with Ram, she said. Because she wanted to make him clear that I am already married and I have a noble husband. It's not befitting for you to talk like this. But Ravana was such a fool. He said, why are you living with a forest dweller like Ram? Why didn't you come and live with me in Lanka? And he started telling his own prowess. He said, I have crores of Rakshasa soldiers and I personally have 5,000 servants for me. And you can become my queen. I will decorate your body with such costly saris and jewelry. And you can order everyone. And they will follow, they will be at your beck and call and everything. So Sita told him. She said, Lord Ram is a Garuda. You are but a crow. She told him. Lord Ram is like gold. And you are like iron. Lord Ram is like sandalwood paste. She said, and you are like mud. Lord Ram is like Mount Everest and you are like a small mound. Lord Ram is like a swan which occasionally flaps its wings while flying in the sky. And you are like a duck meandering in the ground, going round and round. So the comparison that she makes is so bold and confident, and the kind of love and respect she had for Ram. You will see that. Very, very beautiful. Beautiful section. So you find that both, Sita and Ram, and you'll find Ram also admiring Sita, glorifying Sita for her qualities while talking to Lakshman, while talking to Hanuman. Hanuman wants a description about Sita. So Ram gives a very vivid description in Bhagavad Gita, in Ramayana. You'll find such a beautiful and then Ram gives the ring to be given to Sita. So the whole Ramayana teaches how the Maryada Purushottam, Lord Ram, lived. In order to teach a common man how should be a person living, like Lord Ram took the Ekapatni Vrata. That is why when Shurpanakha came, Lord Rama directed her to Lakshman, and Lakshman directed her to Ram. And she thought that both these men are not accepting me because of Sita, so she wanted to kill Sita. You will find even Sita giving advice to Ram when Ram is becoming more violent towards animals in the forest. At one time, seeing the bow of Ram, Sita told him, "Why are you always carrying this violent bow?" So she was telling, "You should never be unnecessarily violent towards any creatures." You will see Sita telling Ram. They are such partners. There are innumerable examples in Ramayana which could be directly taken and applied in one's life. So coming back to our point, I was telling you what vows wife takes, what vows the husband takes. And most commonly we find in the modern day families, sometimes they perform yajna, sometimes they say all these things. Some people nowadays don't do all this also. They have given away all the rituals. Although they marry, they come together. There are many homes in which they don't even have an altar. They don't even worship the Lord at all. So the modern days are characterized by people. Like in America, for example, the divorce rate has gone down. And that is not a great glory of America, because people just live together. They don't marry. Because they don't marry, there is no divorce. They are living together. So that is increasing in America. And some time ago in India also, this was legalized, just a few months ago. Why they have legalized it? Because in Pune courts, every day almost 8 to 10 marriages they are divorcing. And what is the reason for this? Because it is not, people don't understand how sacred is this vow. How sacred is the marriage vow. That sacredness is forgotten. You see, not only between husband and wife, even between two friends, if we want good friendship, good relationship, we have to know that the relationships are possible only when we understand their sacred nature. When Sugriva and Rama became friends, they lighted up a sacrificial fire. Do you know that? You'll read in Ramayana. Just to declare Ram to be his friend, Sugriva performed a yajna that time. Which is to show that friendship is also a sacred thing. Because we cannot be friends with anyone without keeping Guru and Krishna in the center. It's not possible. Our friendship is through the Guru and through Krishna. For example, modern day conflict resolution seminars teach you how to make friendship with your friend or your husband or wife in such a way that you both will not hurt each other. You know, like transaction analysis. They have the seminars. They teach both husband and wife, you behave like this and you behave like this, so that you will not, you know, rub the sharp ends with one another. And then your life will go on and his life will go on and both of you can live peacefully. You see, we are not learning to develop a relationship so that we can live peacefully, without reference to Guru and Krishna. Because such kind of peace will not last for a long time. It will be into pieces after some time. Actually, a long-standing, stable relationship is possible only if husband and wife are two friends. They work for the pleasure of Guru and pleasure of Krishna. Only then it is possible. Recently, one devotee came and told me that he had a problem with one very senior devotee. So I told this devotee, you see, you are having problem with a very senior person. And how important that person is to you in your life, I asked him. And he said, oh, he is very important for me. He does a lot for me. You know, my life can be made, making and breaking of my life is in his hands. So I said, he is very important to you. Then, how often do you encounter displeasing moments with him? I asked. He said, that's very occasional. Then I told him, you know, if the displeasing moments are occasional and the person is very important to you, it is better for you to tolerate the small problems you may face. That's what Lord Krishna teaches in 2.14. Tam stitikshasva bharata. It's better. And if you tolerate, the result is somrutatvaya kalpate. You will attain immortality. And how will we tolerate? If you understand the first thing which I said, Brahma is ignorant, Parvati is ignorant. What about us? We are also ignorant. We are not great souls. Being ignorant souls, sometimes we may also commit mistakes. It's better for us to tolerate others. So, of course, the devotee understood immediately. One of the ways to circumvent conflicts is to tolerate. And tolerate for what? For a spiritual reason. For Krishna's pleasure. For Guru's pleasure. Tolerate. Now, you see, Ambarish Maharaj had so much faith in Krishna's plan. He thought that nothing in this world can happen without Krishna's arrangement. If somebody is beating me, slapping me, killing me, that also is arrangement of Krishna only. And because of that, when Duryodhana created that big demon, Ambarish Maharaj did not even wink his eyes. Because he was fully convinced about Krishna's plan. Now ask yourself, you have a friend or you have a life partner. If somebody is yelling at us, one of the first response we may do is to retaliate back. But imagine if you adopt Ambarish's consciousness. And we immediately think, okay, this person is shouting at me on Krishna's instruction. So you just smile at the shouting devotee. What will be the response? They are likely to become a little more angry. And they may shout a little more. And they may ask you to get out. And you get out and you can be peaceful after that. For some time. This is ideal behavior. If somebody is put in a troublesome situation. If we have complete faith in Krishna's plan. So, as I was telling you, the most of the conflicts are because of the base qualities of Rajas and Tamas. Most of the conflict, the root cause of that is that. Now, we can take another section of Bhagavatam. Actually, just after this instance which I told you now, there is a spiritual conflict situation. Now what happens? All the demigods are going to Brahma and they are praying to Brahma saying that, oh Lord, we are finding there is smoke everywhere in the sky and we don't know. There is a big heat generated everywhere. We don't know what has happened to this universe. And Brahma is telling the demigod, do not worry, I'll tell you the truth, what happened. And then he tells them that once Chatushkumaras, four Kumaras, they were going through the Akashmarg and they come to the doors of Vaikuntha. And they enter into six doors very swiftly without anybody to resist them. And the seventh door, when they were about to enter, they found these two Dwarapalakas, Jaya and Vijay. And Jaya and Vijay were, they were crossing their gadas, not letting anyone to go in. And most importantly, these four children who were Brahmagyanis, they were not allowing them to go in. And they observed their faces. They had angry faces and discontented nostrils and twisted eyebrows. They were looking at them. We will not allow you. They were stopping them at the door. So seeing that, they also became very angry. They said to themselves, hey, what kind of people are living in Vaikuntha? They are thinking in terms of ours and theirs because they didn't see any duality. So they immediately spelled a curse, as you all know, that you are unfit to live in Vaikuntha, you go down to the material world. But then at that time, you find Lord Vishnu appears at the doorstep along with Lakshmiji. In his one hand is a lotus, twirling the lotus. Another hand there is Garuda. He's putting his hand on Garuda's neck. And on the side there is Lakshmiji standing. And when Lord Vishnu came, there were some servants of Vishnu holding an umbrella above his head. And the Chatushkumaras, for the first time, they saw the Lord face to face. They had heard about him from Brahma before. They had seen him within the core of their heart in trance. But they had never seen him face to face. They were more attracted to the impersonal form. But now they were seeing him. His bodily form was so beautiful. He was like a bluish sapphire. And his eyes were like lotus petals. He was wearing dazzling golden effulgent dhoti and everything. And his face was like a full blown lotus. They were so amazed seeing that form. And the Lord spoke very sweet words to them. He said, "My dear Brahmanas, I feel very sorry that my servants, without knowing my heart and my intentions, they have offended you." He said, the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas in this world are most worshipable. In fact, how my feet are considered as lotus feet, that is because I serve my devotees. That's how my feet have become lotus feet. Because I serve Brahmanas and Vaishnavas like you. And he said, the Ganges is emanating from my lotus feet, and the whole world wants to bathe in it. But I am serving the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. From this, people should understand in this world how glorious are the Vaishnava devotees, and they should never be offended at any cost. And he said, you are all very, very dear to my heart, and I cannot tolerate anyone offending you. And he said, my servants have surely offended you by stopping you to enter. And then he said, I am even willing to lop off my arms if you feel that would be appropriate for me to do. Because my servants are under my custody and their offense is my offense. I have committed the offense. So please forgive my servants. Like that he prayed. So hearing these words, the Chatushkumaras, you know, they completely became stunned. And they were looking at Vishnu and they meditated on what he just now spoke for a few seconds, few minutes they meditated. And immediately their hearts became humbled completely. And then they spoke to him, "Oh Lord, what are you saying? You are the most worshipable, not we. But you are speaking our glories to set an example for the world. But the fact is that you are worshipable. And as far as punishment is concerned, you may punish them or you may punish us, whatever you deem fit. We are ready for that. And somehow or other we spelled out a curse on your servants who are completely faultless." They were saying. You see, you try to hear these words. Here you find they are calling Jai Vijay as completely faultless now. And they are also saying, give us punishment. They are saying. And they are glorifying Vishnu and not accepting any glories on themselves. How did the Chatushkumaras, who were in an angry mood, they could give up that anger but praise Lord Vishnu? How did that happen? Anybody can say? How did that happen? He's saying the sweet words of the Lord, he says. Anything else? He's saying fragrance of Tulasi. Of course, fragrance of Tulasi made them into personal worshippers, devotees. That's one another reason. Purity of the Lord, okay? Humility of the Lord, humility of the Lord, very good. Hearing without duplicity, very good. All these are right. Anybody from Mataji's side, anybody want to say? Any of? Yes, Prabhu? Yes, Mataji? By accepting? Accepting their own fault, okay? Somebody can tell me what Prabhuji is saying?
Before the Lord Vishnu appeared there, they had their personal egos clashing, but when Lord Vishnu was the center, their conflict got resolved.
What happened later?
Conflict got resolved.
Vishnu is the center, they conflict resolved. Okay. That is such a good point. See, all these answers are right. The answer that I wanted to give was, the wave of anger can be quelled by wave of love. So Lord Vishnu generated love in their hearts for him. For example, say, your husband is very angry with his wife. He is shouting at her. And the wife is also shouting back. Sometimes in some homes you find husband is yelling and shouting and wife is throwing the bell now from the kitchen. Sometimes it's like a Kurukshetra war. So there's a very angry scene going on. Imagine a small baby. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know the mother's mood or father's mood. He goes and climbs on the lap of his mother and embracing her neck. What happens? The next moment she forgets the anger. because she has so much love for the child that by the touch of the child and embrace of the child, all her anger is evaporated. Same with the father also. So wave of anger can be quelled by wave of love. So Lord Vishnu behaved humbly, by which he could draw that love from their hearts other than draw the anger from their hearts. It's a very basic thing. Actually, it is always better to be humble, in especially provocative situations. And if everyone thinks, I will show my teeth, I will show my nose, how big my nose is, how great I am, how powerful I am, you know, no good will come. Especially the mission of Prabhupada will suffer. The mission of Guru will suffer. And more importantly than that is, we will not be able to please our Guru. So an easy way to tackle troublesome situations in our life is, before you go to that person with whom you want to show your anger, you also should think that my Guru is walking along with me now. I am carrying my Guru with him. I am just going to speak now. Guru is standing by the side and watching. It's a trial period now. How you perform and how that person performs. You know, imagine if your Guru or Prabhupada is standing next to you, how will you behave? Like sometimes, you know, sometimes husband and wife or even two friends, they may beat each other sometimes out of anger. The same person whom they embraced and kissed, now they will beat each other. They may do that. Why they do that? Because it's raga and dvesha. They both come in this world. But one should remember, if Guru or Prabhupada is in my side, how will I behave? One should always remember that. And here we find, interestingly, the conflict was, both of them were contemplating on Lord Vishnu's pleasure. See, the Jaya Vijaya is stopping them to please Lord Vishnu, because Vishnu doesn't like impersonalists. He likes only devotees. So they are stopping. And Chatushkumara also want to go inside to see the form of Vishnu. So that desire also is justified. So both were having pure intention, which is a very rare thing. So it is a spiritual conflict. That is why Lord Vishnu came and told them, none of you are faulty. Neither are the Kumaras faulty, nor are the my servants faulty. It was my desire that this incident should happen. And he told the Jaya Vijaya, don't you remember? Long before, once you stopped Lakshmiji from entering Vaikuntha, because of which she cursed you to go to the middle world for 7 births. And that is still pending in your account. So now you don't have to go for 7 births. You just go for 3 births and come. He said. And then they were praying to Kumaras. Oh, Brahmanas, please bless us that we will never become forgetful of the Lord. We will come back to the Lord safely. When they were praying like this, immediately their faces turned pale and they became morose. And they fell from Vaikuntha, gliding down into Antariksha, coming to the material world. And then they entered into the womb of Diti. After that, they became Rakshasas after that. For 3 births, they became Rakshasas. So, sometimes there may be conflict amongst devotees. But devotees have no conflict about whom do we want to serve. Because we both want to serve Krishna only. Although there is a conflict. There is no conflict about whom do we want to serve. No. Service is for Krishna and Guru only. So if we remember this in our mind, for example, another devotee has another opinion, we should always remember how the devotee is wonderfully serving the spiritual master. How the devotee is trying to please the spiritual master. See, without contemplating on the greatness of the other person and developing respect for the other person, it is impossible to resolve conflicts. I have always seen, when two people have a conflict, both of them are bent upon constantly showering the faults of the other person. Like one husband and wife once had a fight long before, you remember. I asked one of them, can you tell the other person's good qualities? This person said, nothing. I said, are you so confident that there is no good qualities? Yes, I am. You don't want to give any benefit of doubt. You don't know who that person is. I know very well. I have seen this person. So, this is simply arrogance. This is simply arrogance. No, first of all, a devotee wearing tilak, kantimala, and you know, practicing chanting Hare Krishna, living in the company of devotees itself makes a devotee very glorious. Even though they may have many secondary qualities lacking. So, what I do in my personal life, there are some people with whom I had a tussle in my life also, with whom my personality chemistry didn't match with them. one of the things I did is to keep a little distance and from a distance to observe their good qualities and learn to develop appreciation for them. And in fact, by regularly doing this exercise, gradually we will see that they don't have so much faults as we are thinking. Probably I haven't done enough in my life to understand that person better. So oftentimes we have damaged the relationship so badly, especially between husband and wife. You see, brahmacharis, what happens? We are living in ashram, more than 100 brahmacharis. If you quarrel with one, you can forget about your relationship with him and have with another brahmachari. You know, you can make friendship with another. Whenever you see this fellow, hari bol, you can say and you can go away. You know, you don't have to speak beyond that. But if you are husband and wife, you know, you have to live with them. Morning you have to see them, afternoon you have to see them, evening you have to see them, day in and day out. How can you know, you have to dissolve the quarrel somehow. And one of the things you could do is, for example, if a wife has become very angry with the husband, for example, or husband has become very angry with the wife or something, when their anger is coming, whoever is becoming angry, they should immediately take the bead bag and go to the puja room and sit. And you are chanting, the other person is wondering, till now this fellow is shouting, where is that person? He goes round and round in the house. And then you see that fellow sitting in the puja room and chanting. Then immediately your attitude towards that person, completely it becomes spiritual. Immediately. Because that person is trying to, you know, become more spiritual and cool down. Then I also should work, do homework. Otherwise Krishna will become angry with me. Otherwise Guru will become angry with me. You know, one may think like that. Actually, there is no material solution to solve conflicts, as I told you. And even though you may solve some conflicts on a superficial level, it will keep repeating again and again in this world. So we have to elevate our consciousness, advance in Krishna consciousness. And as I told you, the temptation should be resisted. I'll speak one last pastime before I conclude. This is one of my most favorite pastimes from Bhagavatam. Which I release the most. This is a time, you all know, Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva and all that. After that is over, now sometimes there is a family feud, we call it. There is a fight between some relatives and for generations they never see each other. You know that? Sometimes your mother, father may say, see, you can go to that city but don't go to their house. They are our enemies some four generations ago. They may speak like that sometimes. Similarly, Daksha Prajapati became inimical to Shiva's family naturally because he offended Lord Shiva, you know. So now, at one time, Parvati Mata, she saw in the sky, you know, there were many aeroplanes flying and people were, demigods were conversing to one another that there was a Vajpayee Yajna. After that, there is a Brihaspati Sava Yajna going on, conducted by Daksha Prajapati. And they were all flying there to attend the sacrifice. And Parvati was seeing. And all of them were very nicely dressed with nice new dresses and ornaments and everything. They were flying. And she became very restless. She came to Shiva and told Shiva, my dear Lord, you are very exalted. You are a spiritual personality. And you may not be so interested in going for social functions. But I am a poor-hearted lady. I am not like you. You see, I am very eager to wear new dresses and wear the ornaments given by my father and visit my family function. And I request you also to come. We both can go. But if you don't want to come, at least I want to go. She said, I want your permission for the same. How I can observe all these people going there and not participate myself? I want to meet my relatives and everyone. And then she said, besides that, you know, you may say that they were all invited, but we were not invited. You see, amongst grihasthas, this is a very important point, whether they invited or not. You know, brahmachari, sometimes we go anywhere, wherever we can do kirtan, we can go. Because we are beggars only, you know. Beggars can go anywhere uninvited also. But for grihastha, sometimes they will see, they invited, you know, our uncle, our aunt, this is, but they didn't invite us. How can we go there? So, but she said, but if we want to go to a spiritual master's house, our father's house, or some relative's house, our mother's house, we don't need any invitation. It's like our own home only. So don't think that we have not been sent invitation. We can go, she said. We are so close relatives that we don't need an invitation at all. Like that she said. Shiva heard all of it very attentively and he said, you see, your father Daksha, he said, he is envious of me. He is angry with me, he is envious of me. And because of his Janma, Aishwarya, Shrutashri and all these things, he has become infatuated with pride. And he said, those people who are infatuated with pride due to some material qualifications, they cannot appreciate the Paramahamsas or the exalted souls who apparently appear too simple. They may look like avadutas. They cannot understand. So he told her that even if somebody pierces us in our chest with an arrow, you know, that would not be as painful as when we have to hear some hurting words of a relative. You should never go to the house of a relative or as a guest who would receive you with a twisted eyebrows, with an angry face. You should never go to such a people's house without being invited. So he told her, you are not understanding. And even if you go without me, I can tell you, you will be insulted. And your husband will be insulted if you go there. And you will feel really very sorry. And then he told her also that, you know, for a woman like you who is so respectable, you know, such a dishonor is worse than death. So he told her all these things. But then Parvati, when she heard all of it, you know, again she was looking at the sky, all of them going. She became restless. She was walking back and forth. And she started grieving. Tears are coming like streams from her eyes. And then she was thinking, without his permission, how can I go? At the same time, she thought, somehow I will go to my father's house, earn the respect of the father, and make him invite my husband also. And she thought like that. Then she looked at Shiva and she was looking at him so angrily with a hurt look as if she is going to burn him to ashes. And then finally she, although she was indecisive, she decided, now I will go. When she decided to go, see, Lord Shiva's servants are such a good servant, Maniman and other, you know, Guhyakas and all of them, they immediately arranged for the Nandi. She sat on the Nandi in a palanquin with a canopy. They covered it. Now they gave her her favorite pet bird. You have seen Meenakshi? You know, she carries a bird, parrot in her hands. So they gave her the bird and thousands of them, Guhyakas, they accompanied her. Understanding the mood of their master Shiva, they all went with her with musical instruments, playing the musical instruments and everything. So when they arrived at the palace of Daksha Prajapati, Yajna was going on. Vedic chant was going on. Agna Vishnu Sajosha Sema Vartantu Vangiraha. You will hear that sacrifice. May, it will come. Why? Because later on, he got the goat head, Daksha Prajapati. So, they heard the Vedic chant loudly. When she came there, all the sages and brahmanas and the relatives and friends, they all saw her coming. They wanted to welcome her, but they also looked at Daksha Prajapati because they knew that Daksha Prajapati, you know, had a problem with Shiva and now Shiva's wife is coming here. So they pretended to not see her. They turned away. But the only people who welcomed her were her mother and sisters with an engladdened face and tears in their eyes. You know, they embraced her and welcomed her, which she didn't care about at all. And she looked at her father, who turned his face away. She became so angry. She told her father, my dear father, Lord Shiva is such a worshipable personality in the whole world. Lord Brahma takes the flowers offered to Lord Shiva's feet and puts it on his head. And Lord Shiva is not just a demigod, he's a devotee of the Lord. How can one not give him an invitation in a sacrifice like this? Because of your identification with the body as a self, you have ignored him. And I am ashamed to be called as Dakshayani. I am supposed to cut the tongue of the offender, or I am supposed to defeat the offender, or I am supposed to commit suicide. She said, I will relinquish this body given by you so that I can relieve myself of the contamination. And then she immolated herself by creating a mystic fire from within her body. So, this past time you find wife is going against the will of the husband to her parents' place. So we find husband and wife are like one unit. The decisions also should be one, always. If there is a difference in decision, then the conflicts arise again. So, for making a united decision, there has to be flexibility on both the sides. That's why Chanakya says, Ajayudde Munishade Prabhate Megadambake. He says, sometimes due to differences in opinion between husband and wife, there is a quarrel, but it should be like a goat's quarrel, he says. Two goats may sometimes fight, but when you are passing by, you say, hut, you say, they immediately give up the fight. And they walk together, forgetful of what they were quarreling about a few minutes ago. Completely. So husband and wife are alert to fight, but for how long? Only for a very short while. It is said, why the Megadambake is said, the early morning, the clouds make a rumbling sound, but it doesn't shower any rainfall. Similarly, husband and wife can little bit quarrel, but that should not lead to the shedding of tears. If you make a woman cry, you will really land up in difficulty. So, one has to know how to quarrel within limits. Or we can say that instead of saying quarrel within limits, how to learn to express one's differences in opinion expertly. One has to know that. One has to know what is the right speech at the right time. So, here we find again, Sati could not resist the temptation in her heart. Her temptation was so strong to wear the ornaments, to wear new sari and go to the party in her father's place and enjoy with the relatives and friends. Okay, you want to enjoy, then you have to tolerate the insult given by the father. That also you cannot tolerate. See, you don't want insult also, you want to enjoy party also. How both things are possible? One out of the two you have to tolerate. Another conflict that comes in families is, wife tells the glories of her parents' family and husband tells the glories of his parents' family. Although when they both go to their respective families, they will fight with their parents also. But when they come here they both tell the glories of their parents. You will see that. How strange this material world is, you see. So, we should know how our mind is so foolish. When we can laugh at our foolishness, then we will become humble. Otherwise, we can never become humble. We have heard Trinada Vishwanichan how many times? But we cannot become humble as long as we think we are great. Like I said, if Parvati and Brahma are ignorant, we are undoubtedly ignorant. And that will lead us to humility. And cultivating these noble qualities and also resisting temptations, subduing passions, curbing the evil. When can we do that? For that, we have to have a higher occupation. That is Krishna consciousness. We have to have Krishna consciousness engagements. Like Prabhupada was once cooking in the kitchen. On the other side, there were about 6 Matajis. They were all making something, cooking something in the kitchen. And Prabhupada was guiding them. So, Mike was who? Mukunda. So, Mukunda was peeping in the kitchen, you know, searching for his wife. And then Prabhupada said, why are you peeping into kitchen? Prabhupada asked. No, Prabhupada, I was looking for my wife and I was selling. So, you want to go back home, back to Godhead or back home, back to wife? Prabhupada asked him. And immediately, Mukunda understood a great lesson. 2 lessons he says he understood. One is, don't be too attached to wife. Become more serious in Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada taught me, he says. Because if you become very serious in Krishna consciousness, you can shower affection on the wife without becoming attached to her. That was one lesson he says he learned. And second lesson he says he learned is, Prabhupada's relationship with all the women in the kitchen was completely spiritual. Prabhupada never became frivolous while dealing with his women disciples. Although he taught them all the different items to make, he was always their spiritual father. But there is a tendency to become very frivolous in man-woman relationship. So Prabhupada wanted him to know that there is a limit for everything. So he said that I learned these things from Prabhupada. He says that. So if we take Krishna consciousness seriously and husband and wife engage in Krishna consciousness together very seriously, then there will not be enough time for conflicts. You will see that. For example, if you have a program day, you have to cook prasad and you have to serve prasad, all the people are coming. Husband and wife cannot say that we don't talk to each other. Last 2 days we had a big quarrel, we don't talk to each other. They cannot say that. Because if they say that, the whole world will come to know. So at least for that sake, they will start talking on the program day at least. And then the problem will be dissolved very easily. That's the advantage of Krishna conscious engagements. we will be forced to associate with each other. So we have to see each other as a spiritual personality. It's very important. When we see each other as a spiritual personality, then there can be respect, there can be appreciation, there can be admiration, there can be value attached to whatever good they have done. So, see, this is a very oceanic subject. Whatever came to my mind, I spoke today, incoherently, whatever pastimes came to my mind, I spoke. But the basis is this, that we cannot subdue the lower natures without advancing in Krishna consciousness. Before marriage, man, woman should talk clear terms, because it's a sacred vow. Agni Valam, when we do, we're catching the hand of the wife and coming around, we are taking sacred vows. A woman should know what are the expectations of man, and a man should know what are expectations of the woman, clearly, everything. And otherwise, one should not marry at all. Like one boy, he said he's going to marry a girl from the village. Because he said, Prabhuji, I have a lot of ego and I want to marry a girl who will be completely submissive, She will not have even an iota of pride. So he said, he found out a girl from village through his relatives. And he was planning to fix up the marriage, outside the marriage bureau, he was trying. So one time he went to the village, to the relative's place and met this girl to talk to her personally. When he returned back, he was shell-shocked. He told me, Prabhuji, this girl spoke so many things, I cannot believe that she's a village girl. So she told him, you must not have had any relationship with any girl, she told this boy. And the boy asked him, how do you know that? Because you are looking down while speaking to me. No, you are not looking directly in my eyes. And then by looking at her, he understood that she already has connection with many people. And then she told him that I am very attached to Bollywood movies. And she was telling so many things about so many Bollywood actors. She's a village girl. She was telling about so many actors in Bollywood. And when he heard her speaking, he was about to faint, he said. He said that television has reached nook and corner of the world now. So don't think, village girls are submissive and city girls are bad or whatever. City girl, village girl, it makes no difference. Ultimately, devotee is a devotee. Good devotees are good devotees, bad people are bad people. So one should be very clear before marriage. Sometimes you mistakenly marry somebody and then you find, I have committed a blunder. You find the person is not understanding my needs and, his needs and everything. So, and once the sacred marriage is done, one should try. There will be differences and we should know how to sort it out. How to bend and be flexible in all levels to keep the marriage tie sacred. For the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions you all have, you can ask your counselor. Because I can't answer much questions on this zone. That's why I spoke more from Bhagavatam. So surely you may have many important questions. You can clarify from your counselor and appreciate. You will appreciate more then. Srila Prabhupada ki. I was speaking on this topic because everywhere in India nowadays these problems are becoming more prominent because people are becoming materialistic and selfish. They even wonder, is marriage really necessary? So I thought this would be a very relevant topic of the time. And it would also act as a word of caution for those who are already married to take their marriage vows a little more strictly. So if, in the course of my speech, if I have committed any offenses, please forgive me. I hope nobody will take any offense. The different explanations that I gave. Hare Krishna.
So sometimes it's so amazing to hear from Radhesham Prabhu. He understands so many intricate details of grahasthas, and that only shows how much personal deep interest he takes in the lives of devotees.
I have three sisters,
No. But that also shows his unlimited compassion and painstaking efforts to resolve conflicts in the lives of devotees. We all know that if we are in Pune temple or in worldwide congregation, if there is any conflict, simply by going to Radhesham Prabhu, the whole conflict melts away. And you know, what a wonderful opportunity we have to hear from him on conflict resolution, especially in Grihastashram. So let us thank His Grace Radhesham Prabhu with full of our heart, loud Haripol. Haribol! 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 So, like this, we would be having a series of speakers speaking on different aspects of Grihastashram. Next week, we would be having His Grace Jaidev Prabhu speaking on a topic which we would be declaring at a later time. So, before we actually begin with kirtans, I have a few announcements to be done. I'd be starting with a wonderful opportunity of association coming up in this week. We have very good news. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj is visiting Pune. So he'll be giving his satsang programs on Tuesday evening in the temple and Wednesday morning Bhagavatam class also. So let's take this opportunity with full of its attendance. Hari Bol. Also, we would like to announce today's sponsorship. We are greatly thankful to His Grace Achyut Keshav Prabhu and his good wife, Vrindasundari Mataji. So they have sponsored today's breakfast prasadam feast on Ekadashi day. So this being on the occasion of their second wedding anniversary. So let's pray for His Grace Achyut Keshav Prabhu and Mataji for their wonderful efforts in this folk feast program. And also, he has specifically requested that we all pray for his wonderful marriage, keeping Krishna in center, with loud Haribol. Haribol! 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 Before going for the Kirtan, I would request to give kind attention for next few minutes. We have few announcements which would help us to enhance the quality of this folk feast program. We all know that how now the numbers are increasing and gradually we are in the need of various volunteers and services to be rendered, especially in the folk program. So I will just quickly read out a few services and these need not, you know, you need not invest any separate time for taking out these services. These will be required during the program or just before the program or just after the program. So I'll just read out a few services. Those devotees who are interested to render and lead these subcommittees within the folk organization can kindly contact myself or His Grace Achyut Keshav Prabhu after the program. So these are like transcription or recording services because we have so many wonderful specific topics being declared. You won't find these topics anywhere archived. So we would like devotees who can come forward to actually make small notes or record these and put it on archives. We also need to have... we also have a committee of serving breakfast prasadam, so we would need few more volunteers for that. We are planning to give special breakfast since we are coming only for the morning program. So especially those devotees who are yet to, you know, come up with the children and who are relatively free, you know, only husband and wife, they can join us a little ahead of the program at around 6:30 and they can assist in breakfast prasadam cooking. So we'd also like to invite those. Shortly, we are going to come up with the folk magazine. Though that would include the excerpts from the lectures which we have been hearing and the news about folk devotees and many other wonderful arrangements we do in the folk program. So we want devotees to come forward to take lead in writing and publishing this magazine. This would be a monthly or quarterly magazine. We also have a welcome on attendance committee being currently led by Harinam Prabhu and Dauji Nitai Prabhu. So we want few devotees to assist them. See, we want to make this program as a special experience in the week. So everything about this program needs to be special. So we also want to, you know, have a family who would be inviting the guest with, you know, special welcome during the program, in the beginning of the program. So we want volunteers for that. We have so many folk devotees and, you know, their birthdays and wedding days. We want to register them. We want to send them greetings. So we want volunteer who would take lead in this, noting down their special dates and announcing them. There is a request from Nitya Seva department that so many young couples are joining in this program. So we want to make sure that, you know, we also give back to the temple. So Nitya Seva, which we are already providing, we want one coordinator who would actually ensure that we have, you know, database ready for the Nitya Seva contributions and also the coordination for sponsorship, which we do. We also have services for writing the welcome board, putting up the schedule. Now, currently in the process of making the complete annual schedule, at least firm schedule for next quarter for the speakers and the topics which they are going to speak on. So we want somebody to actually put up on the schedule, make displays and set up arrangement. In the long run, you know, we see that many children, today you saw many children loitering around on the stage, and that sometimes distracts. So if some devotee can come up like this distraction, so if some devotee can come forward and take lead in turns to take care of the children by keeping them engaged in storytelling or in some other activities, that is a welcome addition. And so these are like, you know, there are dozens of services which would actually enhance the quality of this program. One more thing which I missed, actually we want to have a pakka kirtan party. So there are few devotees here sitting and smiling at me, those who are themselves very good singers, and if they can take lead in arranging for a pakka kirtan party for the beginning and the end kirtan, that will be very helpful. And as we said, we are shortly going to come up with skits, dramas according to the topic which we are given. So those devotees who are interested in putting up skits, see, all these departments, whoever comes, we would make him the department head. So that is the sort of a thing. So he can lead, he can himself do, and he can, you know, get around devotees and get it done. So there are over dozens of such small things or departments within the folk program. And if devotees can come forward, both Prabhuji's and Matajis, that will be a wonderful help and, you know, assistance to enhance the quality of the program. So we would like to also, towards the end, we would like to thank all the devotees who are enthusiastically participating in this folk feast program. So we would now have a very short kirtan. Let us invest all our energies for the next 5 minutes to have dancing kirtan for only 5 minutes, because the next Sunday feast program is going to begin. I would end on the small note. If we come on time, we can give enough time for lectures and kirtans and, you know, the time which is allotted.